You know what they say, Katie? Making the way in the world today takes everything you've got.
I've heard
taking
that.
A break from all your worries sure would help a lot.
Indeed.
Not cheers, fair.
That's a good show.
I grew up on that fucking show.
Yeah, I watched that late night with my dad as a small child.
My dad was definitely into that. My dad and my stepmother. Although she wasn't my stepmother at the time.
So. That and Becker. Becker was a good show.
Becker. That was the other one that he had, right?
Yes. I loved that show. I had a huge crush on Tony Danza as a kid.
Not Tony Danza.
No, yeah, I got that wrong. What's his name?
Ted Danson.
Yeah, see, I was
Ted
close.
Danson.
Same mouth fucking sounds, Chris. I got it.
The best thing I've seen him in recently is The Good Place.
I haven't seen that.
That show, The Good Place, was fucking pretty funny. So, anyway, let's get this this show on the road.
You're about to witness the strength of creep knowledge.
Good evening. Welcome to the Freudian Slip. This is episode 213, isn't it? 213? It's at the bottom. It hasn't scrolled by me yet. Yeah, 213. Sorry. The thing up in front of it, like a dumbass. It ain't easy being green, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we will talk about the Loveland Frogman sightings. Wonderful. Little hoppy toads down in Ohio. I figured I'd stick with an Ohio strange cryptid theme. John William Boston says, good afternoon, GB/US. It's GB.
Great Britain?
Ah! I'm fucking dumb today.
No, it took me a second. I was thinking about it before you even brought the comment up.
All right. Smoked too much weed. Could be either or. So I figured I'd let it marinate for a little bit. And, you know, since it's been out for there for a while. But you finished the Invisible Pilot, right?
I did.
Yeah. So how'd you like that?
It was a wild ride.
Yeah. That one, I watched it as they came out. So the first episode was out, I watched it. And then I had to wait for the second episode. And then I had to wait for the third episode. So you get through the first episode, and it's about this guy that died. You know, committed suicide, jumped off a bridge. Like, if you go in not knowing anything about it. So spoiler alert. And you get to the end of the first episode and you find out he's not dead. He's still, in fact, very much alive.
Yeah, they just like whip him up in an interview and are like, here I am. And you're like, what?
What? So I'm like, what the fuck? And, you know, then you get into the next episode and you find out that him and his wife were nudists. They were into fucking drugs of all kinds. Acid, cocaine, mushrooms. One of the fucking funniest stories was where the guy's like, yeah, I had to go up and talk to him. I walk into the room. He's fucking this other guy's wife that came down to get me. That whole documentary about that guy, this fucking smuggler who wound up fucking running guns for the government and testifying before Congress, but never got any real leniency out of it. It was what a weird story.
Well, and that was actually kind of what I missed, was how he ended up getting out and how somehow that was lost on me in the last episode.
Yeah, they didn't really explain like how he served his time, but he right. did not get the leniency that some of the other people that testified did.
Right.
They did state that. So, damn it. So there was that. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one when I found it, and I had to send it to you. I was like,
oh, it was a crazy ride.
It was a fun one.
And I've never heard of it either. Like, never heard of that story ever.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him either. Like, totally new to me. That's why when I came across it, I didn't pay much attention to anything. And I think the trailer that I watched was really, you know, very, you know, bland. It didn't show much of anything.
Yeah, they didn't give anything away.
Right. They left it all behind the curtain, so to speak.
I most enjoyed the wife that was in on it with him.
Oh, yeah. She was hilarious.
She was a hoot. Oh, my gosh.
And they wound up, like, completely falling out of it.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't... They don't even... What, did they stay married? But...
I don't know. Really weird. They still speak very fondly of each other, but... Yeah, it's
she. She was like, I can't live with him or something like that.
Yeah, she couldn't. She was done with that lifestyle. She had fun. It was great, but yeah, they couldn't do it. But they still. Oh, I don't know. I thought they both were just so endearing and adorable, and especially her. Oh my gosh, yeah. She loved sitting there talking about it. It was the time of her life.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Seeing how it affected his kids, though.
Yeah.
That bothered me.
Yeah, that they weren't good parents. Let's no. be clear about that.
Yes. Crazy, wacky, fun story.
Yeah.
Not good parents.
No.
So, yeah, the poor kids of theirs, they did not.
They seem to have grown up and embraced it just fine, though.
Yeah, I just don't know that it did them any favors.
No. No, they definitely have some visible scars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. So, yeah, I dug into the Stainer Brothers documentary. The lovely Stainer Brothers, the tag team match, tag team partners, that can never be beat in media sensationalism. I joke, but that story's crazy. You know, the story of Steven Stainer, this poor kid that gets abducted at the age of 7. He's abducted by this guy, Kenneth Parnell, for like 7.5 years. And then Parnell decides to kidnap this other kid, Timmy something. I can't remember his last name. And Steven, who's now known as Dennis, decides that he's not going to make this kid go through what he went through for all those years, all the sexual abuse and everything. And runs off with him and gets him to a police station and... It's a horrible story, but a wonderful story of redemption. And the fact that this kid, you know, finally says enough and saves this other little boy and himself ultimately. And then, you know, everything that happens after that. And then we've talked about this before on the show, his brother who wound up being a serial killer later on. And they go through this whole thing, and it's great. The documentary is really in depth. They talk to his family a lot. I know you haven't checked it out yet, Katie, but I think you'll enjoy it when you do.
Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to it. This is one that, I did a write up for you on back a year or two ago, and I dove real deep into that. This was a big story to cover, and it it stayed with me. So,
and it's a 3-part documentary on Hulu, and it's worth it. I mean, anybody that you know is into that type of thing, I suggest that you check it out. It's called Captive Audience. It's fucking great. I really enjoyed it. So, John William Boston says, just found you. Lots of F-bombs, I hope. I think I've thrown a few out for you so far. I don't know. I don't keep track.
I don't think we'll disappoint.
I think I'll fill the quota, John. So yeah, it's been a fucking week. Have you been paying attention to the Johnny Depp / Amber Heard trial?
That is actually the one thing that has been. Yes, I followed it very closely. It has been the highlight of my past few weeks.
I thought you were going with, that's the one thing, Chris, that I've really tried to avoid.
Nope, I'm all over it.
Because I'm a good human being.
No, that shit has been keeping me going for days.
I just want to, the man called her shit on his side of the bed a grumpy.
There's so many things that have literally made me stop and cackle, Chris. I'm not kidding you. I have stopped and cackled at some of the shit that has gone on in this courtroom. It's unbelievable.
Listen, I watching this unfold, and no matter whatever you believe, you know, she definitely abused him in some way.
Oh yeah. And he's not perfect.
And maybe there was some abuse going in the other direction too. All I know at this point is that Johnny Depp and I have a little bit in common. And that makes me laugh. When he was talking about getting a drink thrown in his face, I was like, yeah, dude. Yeah, I've been there. I mean, some of the stuff that they would talk about that she would do, I was just like, oh my God, I've been this guy. And it's crazy. And, you know, and I've talked to some other guys that I know that are like, yeah. Like, I've fucking been through that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And people don't, and that's the part of this that I think is good, is that he's highlighted something that people don't want to talk about. And that is that women can be abusers too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this whole idea that if a woman comes out and says that something happened, we have to totally believe her. Because Amber Heard came out and said that he abused her. And it's kind of being brought to light that maybe that what she was saying was bullshit. That she concocted a story, at least in that instance.
Right.
Now, I'm going to say it's looking that way. You know, like, it's my opinion. He fucking shined a light on it. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah. And I think the big thing that's stood out to me listening to everything is that it's clear she strategically recorded their conversations. It's obvious.
Oh, yeah.
But what gets me is that really, Johnny's not perfect in this. Sure. He's definitely had some things come out where it's like, you could have handled that better. Sure. But
yeah.
In all of these recordings where she tries to act like she's like trapping him, he's trying to de-escalate. He's trying to be calm and cool and kind and be like, let's not do this to each other, you know? And she just keeps at him. And it's like, how could you think that these recordings are helping you, hon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're not.
And I have been through that exact type of thing where I'm trying to, I would be trying to de-escalate a situation. It would just keep getting escalated, or
yeah,
you know, or whatever. And it, and I'm not saying I was a saint in all of those instances.
Right.
In those, either, you know, however, I went through a lot of shit. So, you know, that's what I've learned about this whole thing, or through this whole thing, is that I have a lot in common with Johnny
Depp. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no shit, right? No shit in my bed, though.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's
nothing ever
up.
Went that far.
Nobody's made a grumpy in your bed?
No, nobody made the grumpy. But, yeah. Had some shit.
That's so foul.
Yeah, that is pretty foul. And you know, the war in Ukraine carries on. What is it? We're going to give them $33 billion. Another 33 billion. What is it? They say $20 billion will solve homelessness in America. And here you go, Ukraine. Here's $33 billion worth of weapons. So actually, you know, I mean, I don't think Ukraine should be thanking our government. I think it should be Raytheon and like fucking General Dynamics. What are the other ones? Fucking, I don't know who else is out there.
Those are the big ones.
Oh God. And listen, I understand that, you know, we need these things out there. These entities that build these weapons and whatever. But the amount of money that is spent gets
absurd.
A little fucking crazy. And when it comes to what we're sending, you know, to other places, when we don't help our own people, also crazy. And, you know, hey, it just drives me nuts. I don't know what to tell you. If I keep going on that shit, I'll go on a rant.
I have nothing to contribute, so that's a good reason to stop.
I try to, I figure we should touch on it because it's going on. Like, it's a scary thing that's going on. Some people are really scared about it. Some people are just like, fuck it. I sit here kind of indifferent, I guess. Not indifferent. I'm not in any one camp, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So. Well, I admit that I'm willfully ignorant to it.
Yeah.
And that is a choice, and it's not my proudest choice, but 'tis where I am.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll just jump into ye old news tonight then. Because why the fuck not? Our first news story of the evening. I'll go with the one that you sent me, Katie. Yahoo.com. Pet duck solves murder mystery by finding grandmother's body under suspect's trailer. A North Carolina couple were busted on murder charges after a pet duck led investigators to the decomposing remains of a missing 92-year-old grandmother, police said. Mark Allen Barnes and Angela Lucille Wamsley were charged in the death of Nellie Lucille Sullivan, Wamsley's grandmother, after a waterfowl found the elderly woman's remains under the couple's trailer in Candler, North Carolina, about 10 miles west of Asheville. According to the North Carolina news station, a pet duck belonging to the new renters who currently occupy the couple's former trailer ran underneath the mobile home where a makeshift grave was found. Apparently, the duck ran underneath the trailer at 11 Beady-Eyed Lane, and as they were chasing after their pet duck, they ran across the container that Nellie Sullivan was located in, Sergeant Mark Walker of Buncombe County Sheriff's Office told Asheville television station WLOS. If I could give that duck a medal, I would. Walker described the prior search efforts to locate the 92-year-old woman as a wild goose chase. Oh, see what you did there. Yeah, exactly. Hack. An autopsy subsequently confirmed the woman's remains were Sullivan. According to the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office, her cause and manner of death weren't immediately released by officials. Since the beginning of this investigation, we have sought to locate Mrs. Sullivan's remains, afford her the respect she deserved, and restore dignity to the life she once lived, Angie Tullis, captain of the Criminal Investigation Division at the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office, said in a statement on April 21st. The investigation dates back to December 2020, when county authorities arrested Barnes and Wamsley on charges relating to concealing Sullivan's death. Investigators at that point accused Barnes of burying Sullivan in a shallow grave. Searches of nearby land and search warrants served on various properties were initially unsuccessful in locating the woman's remains. Neighbors, however, told North Carolina outlet WLOS that the elderly woman had actually been missing for years. At the time of Sullivan's disappearance, the couple were also charged with a series of felonies and misdemeanors, including animal cruelty, unlawfully reconnecting a utility, two counts of abandonment of an animal, possession of a Schedule III controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of a synthetic cannabinoid. Who gives a fuck on the last one? But anyway, Barnes was also slapped with an additional charge of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. That's a big one. In March, Barnes and Wamsley were further charged with four counts of fraud and forgery, felony conspiracy possession, felony conspiracy transport, and multiple heroin drug trafficking charges. Woo! They are just racking it up.
Quite the list.
Sullivan's friends had previously been tormented for months after the elderly woman initially vanished without a trace. It bothers me really bad, neighbor Belinda Moody also told WLOS in 2020. I want to know what happened to her. Moody described Sullivan as a sweet little old lady. She'd give you the clothes off her back if she could, she added. And that's pretty much the end of that fucking story. But that is, you guys got to see this couple. Those of you watching the video portion of our program, not the audio only podcast version. I will pop this up here. These two are a couple of fucking winners, from the look of them. Just saying. You can all make your own judgments.
Yeah.
Couple of
obviously ones. The duck caught my eye in this story, but I can't believe they did searches for this lady. Did they not use cadaver dogs? Like,
listen, those cadaver dogs are not always that reliable.
No, and she was down there for a couple years, but I don't know. It sounds like she wasn't even buried. She was in a container, so.
Yeah, and I've actually, because I watch a lot of true crime, there's been a lot of debate about cadaver dogs.
Yeah.
I don't think they're as reliable as they claim all the time. But, dogs are definitely a tool.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Just don't know, how often they are completely reliable. So, but yeah, that was the pet duck solving a murder mystery. Yeah, he's got a lovely little story about an animal. let's go to our next story of the evening from TullahomaNews.com. TullahomaNews.com. Old Stone Fort has a history of ghosts, pranks. I don't believe in ghosts, never have, but there was a time when Old Stone Fort in Coffee County was said to be haunted. At first glance, Old Stone Fort appears to be nothing more than a short wall around a big field that is flanked by two rivers, the Duck and Little Duck. But the wall happens to be very old, between 1500 and 2000 years old, during the Woodland Era. This is the same era in which Pinson Mounds was built in present-day Madison County and its mysterious era. When settlers began moving into Tennessee in the 1700s, the Native American tribes they encountered told them that they didn't know what the place had been used for. The newcomers gave the place the name Old Stone Fort because they guessed it had been a fortification built by early European explorers. perhaps those who were led by Hernando de Soto, for instance. But in 1966, archaeologists from the University of Tennessee conducted extensive digs, which proved that the walls were built in the Woodland era. And drawing conclusions on what they found, charcoal samples, and what they didn't find, cultural artifacts and human remains, the archaeological team led by Charles Faulkner concluded that the place had once had a religious or ceremonial function. It was perhaps a place where tribes gathered once a year for rituals or sporting events or just to socialize. If you think about Old Stone Fort and its geography, it's easy to see how it could become a popular gathering place. The area between the rivers is flat, but surrounded on most sides by steep embankments. Next to Old Stone Fort, the Duck River flows along solid rock and goes through a series of waterfalls, the largest of which is known as Big Falls. The natural flow of the river here has attracted more than one business venture. In the latter part of the 20th century, a paper mill operated at Old Stone Fort. Here's what I once discovered about Old Stone Fort's history from old newspaper clippings in 1833. Six Rutherford County men went to Old Stone Fort for a fox hunt. After having camped out for several days, one of them got spooked by something he saw and heard, which caused him to leave. A year later, the same six men with nine of their friends came back and stayed at the same place. At first, they saw nothing unusual, but after several days, a local man named Latimer, who wanted to drive the hunters away, built a contraption that made a frightening sound. With the help of two boys, Latimer sneaked around the woods in the middle of the night and unleashed a terrifying noise at different points and at different times. At first, the hunters were disposed to laugh. Then they got quiet. Then they commenced shooting, the article said. Next morning, the hunters told wonderful stories about what they saw, how it came close up to the fire, how impervious it was to their bullets, how it changed from an animal to a woman, and what it would say. According to the article, among the members of the hunting party were Leonard Sims, who later moved to Missouri and became a U.S. congressman, and Jack Fletcher, who served for many years in the Tennessee General Assembly. Both Sims and Fletcher were apt to retell the ghost story in legislative settings. One of the boys involved in the mischief, however, went on to become a reporter for the Nashville American, and he confessed to his part in the prank in the Nashville Daily American on May 18th, 1887. Oh, fuck. Listen, I would stop this story right here because it's fucking hilarious. But this just goes to show you, people have always been pranksters.
Yep.
They've always been pranksters. You know, to think otherwise is folly. You know, they always say, like, on Ancient Aliens and shit like that, well, they drew what they saw. Well, you know, they're trying to tell us something. You don't think that people tried to pull bullshit back then? Like, they definitely tried to pull bullshit back then.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it just because it happened back in the past doesn't necessarily give it credence. Christian Goldsmith says, "What up, dude? What up, dude, indeed." But anyhow, on to our next story of the evening, because your next comment, Christian, was horrible. So I'm not even going to go there. Let's see here. From the bristolpost.co.uk, Loch Ness Monster reportedly sighted by couple on holiday who snapped compelling footage. The Loch Ness Monster has reportedly been spotted for the fourth time this year by a couple on holiday. On Monday, April 25th, a pair of holidaymakers staying in a cottage overlooking Urquhart Castle on the banks of Loch Ness believe they saw something in the water, reported Edinburgh Live. They have reported seeing the beast at just after 6 a.m., and video footage purporting to show a large creature going in and out of the water has been shared. The sighting was logged on the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register last week. The log read, "A couple on holiday for a week were staying in a cottage overlooking Urquhart Castle when they saw something in the water at 6:16 a.m. They took a video, which was later examined by a local photographic and video expert, who said that what they captured was clearly animate, came out of the water before going back in again, and then out once more, and was definitely larger than, for example, the bird life in the loch. There have been 4 sightings of the fabled monster since March 30th this year. Click here to fucking check this bullshit out. Yeah, there's some more stuff there. There's an image here. I'll let you guys check this out. The one of the images that they show. But it's not that great.
What?
Yeah, that's the image that they got. Supposedly this video. I don't know. It was not there for me, so. Yeah. Oh, great. Popped up my emails. Fucking lovely. But yeah. No. I thought that was a cool story. Anyway, 4 fucking four sightings fucking.
That's a lot.
That have been brought up this year already since March.
People go there specifically to look for it, though, and I think that's important to note.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. Our next story of the evening from globalnews.ca. Trent University Sasquatch Society in Peterborough on the lookout for Bigfoot. It goes by many names, Yeti, Sasquatch, and, of course, Bigfoot. While some believe it's a mythical beast reserved for storybooks and the silver screen, others think the primate-like species is the real deal. Enter Ryan Willis, founder of the Trent University Sasquatch Society, a club that is now about 150 members strong, based in, Peterborough, Ontario. We are looking for Bigfoot, said Willis. Growing up, I would watch shows like Finding Bigfoot, and it was always such an interesting subject for me. So the group is exploring the region with their eyes peeled and speaking to experts, virtually hosting guests, including Matt Moneymaker and Cliff Berrickman from Finding Bigfoot, and Jeff Meldrum, professor of anatomy and anthropology at Idaho State University. He also likes feet. Just saying. I was a youngster living in Spokane, Washington, and it just happened to be the first showing of the Patterson-Gimlin film to the public, said Meldrum, referring to the famous footage shot in 1967 in Northern California that made Bigfoot a household name. Meldrum said that enhanced a love of natural history and mystery, and he would eventually go on to study bipedal locomotion, the evolution of walking on two legs. In 1996, he was called to Washington to examine a set of potential Sasquatch tracks. There was no mistaking these were either cleverly hoaxed or the real deal. 35, 45 clear footprints in the mud, he said. It was such an impactful experience that the hair still stands up on my arms because the realization set it that, my gosh, they do exist. Meldrum said he now has more than 300 samples of possible prints from all over the world. Arguments can be made either way, but for me, it's the footprint evidence, he said. I'm convinced. As a scientist, I can't say with 100% certainty until we have a physical specimen, a conclusive DNA specimen, or something definitive. But as surely as I can know just shy of that conclusive evidence, yes, I am convinced. On their Bigfooting expedition, Society member Sabrina Marie said she isn't completely convinced the Sasquatch is real, but said she is keeping an open mind. Hearing a broad range of different viewpoints from different experts has been a cool experience, she said. I've always been interested in cryptozoology, and I think some of the people who have put their livelihoods on the line to recount their experiences is some of the most compelling pieces of evidence. Along with speaking with experts, the team explores the area, doing the odd Sasquatch call, which Willis said is a big wolf-like howl with a different tone, and doing something called wood knocking. Sweet bang shit on trees. Usually wood. But hey, good luck to him, I guess. Good luck, yeah. Trent University Sasquatch Society. Hope you find something. Probably you'll become jaded like me at some point in time. And that's always fun. So I hope not. I hope you guys figure it out. Maybe you'll find something. I don't know. Our next story of the evening I thought I would share this one. This one is not necessarily Freudian, so to speak. But I think it goes to show that things can be blown out of proportion and be made into news stories. From the WashingtonPost.com, the ghost of Kiev was never alive, Ukrainian Air Force says. Now, before I get into this story, I'm going to say that I knew this weeks ago. Weeks and weeks and weeks ago. That the ghost of Kiev was a bullshit story. Somebody basically made it up on Twitter, I think it was. If we get into the story here, I think it's that's what we're, I'm going to find out, that it was on Twitter that it, he was created. The ghost of Kiev, that's what admirers call the Ukrainian fighter pilot who is said to have shot down 40 enemy planes. Over the weekend, Ukrainian officials admitted that the ghost, in fact, never existed. Ghost of Kiev is a superhero legend whose character was created by Ukrainians, Ukrainian Air Force said Saturday, confirming that it was all a bit of myth-making. The news came 2 days after the Times of London identified the ghost as Maj Stepan Tarabalka, a pilot who died March 13th in an air battle with Russian forces. The ghost of Kiev is one of the most successful pieces of propaganda promoting the prowess of the nation's fighting forces and lifting morale. Although Ukrainian officials and former President Petro Poroshenko promoted the myth, the Air Force warned people to not neglect the basic rules of information hygiene and to check the sources of information before spreading it. Ukraine and Russia have been spreading propaganda during the war, with Ukraine focusing on hearts and minds internally and throughout the West. Government officials in the invaded country share day-to-day events, operations, and victories on Twitter, Telegram, and Facebook. Social media platforms have been struggling to keep up with the fast-spreading dubious information, engaging in fact-checking that sometimes goes beyond their own policies or contradicts them, the Washington Post has reported. I'm not going to go much further with this. I can't remember where it got picked up, like, big time over here. I want to say it was somewhere on Twitter. I may be wrong on that. My point in bringing up this story is that it's horseshit. And it was promoted around like it was the real thing. Major news outlets were talking about this person as if it was a real person. Nobody vetted it. Nobody looked into it. They just went with it because it fit their narrative. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a scary time in our lives where the news media can just blatantly lie to you. And they do it a lot right now. They do it a lot. Chris Day says, I heard Elon is going to buy Russia to end the war. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
Good luck to Elon. He's out there just trying to solve all the world's problems, I guess. I don't know. You know, listen, people want to like claim that, you know, Elon's like, and hey, he wants to protect free speech on Twitter, and that's great. But let's call him what he is. He's a human being. And human beings are flawed. So he's not some god. And I don't necessarily think he's going to do all the right things all the time. So let's fucking check ourselves for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, on that shit. But yeah, the ghost of Kiev was a bullshit story. It was never a real person. They made it up. And this is what happens with war. It's unfortunate that we're being fed such a bullshit narrative right now. It's very scary.
Yeah. It's scary that it says that there's the agenda of the narrative is more important than the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth is what's important. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's what's important is the fucking truth. And we've lost such sight of that.
Yeah.
And this tribal mentality that we've had, it's really fucked us. It's really fucked us, and it's fucked us up. And I don't know that we can get out of it at this point. This left and right and up and down. And, you know, they've made it into this good versus evil bullshit on both sides.
Yeah.
Like the right thinks that they're the good side and that the left's evil. And the left thinks that they're the good side and that the right's evil. And, you know, it, so fucking, it's just, duh. They did it. They divided us, Katie.
They did.
They fucking did it. They did it. Oh, shit. Anyhow. I wanted to see if I could show this video tonight. I came across this. Oh. I don't want that. I got something in my fucking ear right now. Ugh. God. Did you watch that video I sent you?
Yes.
The surveillance shows wild altercation at gas station in Belleville.
That was crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, very rarely do I show video on the show. But this is probably one of the craziest things that I've seen in a while. And it is nuts. The white car that you see on the screen is the focus of the video. It's gonna get nuts. It doesn't take very long. The black car pulls up behind. For those of you who are watching on the podcast, I'll try to relay this, who aren't able to see the video. A woman from the white car goes back to the black car to get into the front seat. Cars are still coming in through the gas station. They're parked on one side of the pumps, these two vehicles. There's a red SUV parked on the other side, looking like she was getting gas. She's kind of waltzing around. She's kind of peripheral to the whole thing. Other car drives off. Woman from the white car is still in talking to the, or doing something in the front of the black vehicle behind the white vehicle. This continues on. Woman from the SUV that's on the other side of the gas pumps goes into the store. Continues on like this. I promise there's a good payoff with this. Promise you. So the woman gets out of the car in the black car. She goes up to the white car. This is another woman. The woman that was driving, I believe, in the black car. And I think these were all women. Pretty sure.
Yes, they were. And the first woman wasn't the driver.
Right. And she goes up to the driver's side of the white car, starts to walk back. The woman in the white car who's driving gets out, confronts the woman from the black car. They're kind of like facing off. The woman that went between the cars gets in between them. And then the fight breaks out. And they're going at each other. And the woman who was going between the cars is trying to break them up, it looks like. The woman that's in the passenger seat just kind of nonchalantly gets out of the passenger seat. Well, I don't know what the fuck she does in this whole altercation besides almost get run over.
Right. Well, she's trying to de-escalate at the moment. Even though all three of those women are enclutched in each other violently.
Yes. Yes. And this continues on. People are coming out. I'm pretty sure if you guys look, you might find it on WorldStar.
Uh-huh.
Because there are quite a few people filming.
Yep.
This continue. The fight continues. Then it kind of breaks up. And the woman goes to walk in front of the car. Oh, she almost gets run over as the woman in the white car pulls around, runs up onto the curb, and bangs into the SUV on the other side. The woman who is running between the vehicles is trying to get into that white vehicle. It takes off again, comes around, slams into the black car, and goes through between the gas pumps.
Oh, and almost hit another dude, too. Oh, my God.
Yes. Now, this is where I realized the woman who was going between the cars, there's a baby in the back of the white car.
Yep.
And she's getting the baby out. Yeah. But wait, folks. There's more. They're all like trying to figure this out. She gets out, opens up the back of her vehicle, takes out a baseball bat, and bang, slams the fucking windshield of the black vehicle.
Which is already totaled, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And smacks into it again. Now, the woman who had her car hit, who was like peripheral, she's like trying to talk to the person in the black vehicle. I don't get this.
I think she's confused.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then here Purple Jacket's coming back with her baseball bat.
Oh, yeah. And everybody's still videoing. Like, I still haven't looked this up to see if it's on WorldStar, see if there's like audio.
I haven't yet, because I wanted to look up if there were like charges and like what happened, but I think it's too new still and there's not anything out yet.
Yeah. Oh, this one got me. This one fucking got me good.
It's so crazy.
And then, and I'm not going to take this anymore. You guys can look it up. The title's right there. Surveillance shows wild altercation at gas station in Belleville. Look it up on YouTube. It's tragic, ultimately.
Well, thank God everybody was okay.
Yeah, but it's fucking, it's scary that people like that exist.
Yes, it is.
You know, so, fucking stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Folks. All right, and on to our topic of the evening, which, to be honest, probably won't take us that long to go through.
Right.
The Loveland Frogman. Not a, you know, not a lot on it. Much like the Lizard Man, not a shit ton of sightings. The interesting thing with the Loveland Frogman is that there's multiple sightings by police officers. The only issue is that one of them recanted and said that it wasn't what he thought it was before. Although nobody understands, I don't believe, why that happened. But anyway, to get into it, and this is from the Cryptid Wiki, cryptids.fandom.com. The Loveland Frogman, also known as the Loveland Lizards, are cryptids who derive their name from the area they inhabit, nearby Loveland, Ohio. The creatures themselves have been sighted in Clermont County. Clermont? C-L-E-R-M-O-N-T. The Loveland Frog has had four sightings, one in 1955, two in 1972, and one in 2016. The 2016 has video evidence associated with it, but is likely a hoax due to its location in a city. Okay. Is that the one with the fucking eyeballs look like fucking flashlights?
It just looks like a normal frog.
That's so stupid. Taxonomy. The Loveland Frogmen are reported bipedal frogs. This would make them the only species of frog that are bipedal. The Loveland Frogmen are bipedal frogs, as made evident due to their leathery skin as well as their webbed hands and feet. The creatures have frog-like heads with wrinkly skin on top of them. They are around 1 meter tall. Let's see what else. Dun, 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 dun. Let's get down to the sightings. These amphibious anomalies have shocked and terrified both businessmen, farmers, and police officers, and remain one of the most intriguing cryptozoological mysteries in the United States. One of the most intriguing cases encountered is that of the Loveland Frogmen, or Loveland Lizards. The story of these unique creatures begins in May of 1955 on a lonely stretch of road that runs along the Miami River in Clermont County, just on the outskirts of a small town known as Loveland, Ohio. At approximately 3:30 a.m., an unnamed businessman claimed to have witnessed three bipedal quasi-reptilian entities congregating by the side of the road. The man pulled his car to the curb and observed these creatures for what he estimated to be about 3 minutes. During this time, he noticed that these strange beings stood between 3 and 4 feet tall, were covered with leathery skin, and had webbed hands and feet. Their most distinguishing characteristic, however, was their distinctly frog-like heads, which the man claimed bore deep wrinkles where their hair should have been. Just as the man was about to steal away, one of the creatures suddenly held what the witness could only describe as a wand above its head. The anonymous source further claimed that sparks spewed out of the end of this device. He left post-haste. Thus begins the bizarre legend of the Loveland Frogmen. This tale would be fascinating enough if it ended there. But the two most significant encounters in this case, and indeed two of the most significant encounters in the annals of cryptozoology, were yet to come. At about 1 a.m. on March 3rd, 1972, nearly 17 years after the first report, a police officer, who understandably chose to remain anonymous, was traveling along Riverside Road heading towards Loveland when he saw something that would forever change his life. The officer claimed that he was driving slowly due to the substantial amount of ice on the road when he saw what looked like a dog by the curb. Suddenly, the animal darted in front of the cruiser, forcing the officer to slam on the brakes in order to avoid a potential collision with the creature. Once the police cruiser came to a halt, its headlights fell upon the prone animal. At this point, the officer described something that seems literally too bizarre to be true. In the span of seconds, this crouched frog-like creature stood on two legs, stared back at the policeman, then scrambled over the guardrail and scurried down the embankment, finally disappearing into the Ohio River. The officer in question described the creature as being 3 to 4 feet tall and weighing in the area of 50 to 75 pounds. He also claimed that its skin had a leathery texture and that the animal's features resembled those of a frog or lizard. Another officer investigated the scene later that evening. He saw no sign of the creature, but reported there were distinct scratch marks on the guardrail where the animal purportedly crossed. The second sighting occurred 2 weeks later while police officer Mark Matthews had an encounter of his own. According to the report, Officer Matthews, while driving into Loveland, spotted what he believed to be an injured animal lying on the pavement. Matthews climbed out of his cruiser with the intention of removing the carcass from the already ice-slicked road when the creature abruptly lurched upwards into a crouched position. Taken aback by the frogman's reptilian visage, Matthews unholstered his revolver and took a shot at the creature, which then proceeded to hobble over to the side of the road and step over the guardrail, all while keeping a watchful eye on the trigger-happy officer. Matthews's frogman matched the first officer's description down to the last detail, with the exception of a tail, which was absent in earlier reports. In the years which have followed these events, Officer Matthews has reneged somewhat on his tale. He now claims the animal in question was nothing more than a large reptile which escaped from its owner. He further insists that the only reason he shot at the creature was to help confirm a fellow officer's story, a story which was, of course, being met with predictable skepticism by their superiors. Whether or not Matthews' change of heart was inspired by ridicule or the fading memory of an event from which he was 30 years removed, the fact remains that his own testimony counter-indicates his later retraction. In a 2001 email interview, Officer Mark Matthews, now retired, explained that the incident was habitually blown out of proportion. He stated that it was and is no monster. It was not leathery or had wet, matted fur. It was not 3 to 5 feet tall. It did not stand erect. The animal I saw was obviously some type of lizard that someone had as a pet that either got too large for its aquarium, escaped by accident, or they simply got tired of it. It was less than 3 feet in length, ran across the road, and was probably blinded by my headlights. It presented no aggressive action. Matthews attempted to shoot the creature in order to back up the account of his partner's sighting a few nights prior, but the lizard escaped, most likely to die from its injury or from the bitter freezing cold. A frogman was spotted in mid-August 2016 by Sam Jacobs and his girlfriend while they were playing Pokemon Go in Cincinnati. The location of the sighting cast doubts on its authenticity. But yeah, the fucking Loveland frogman. The initial cop sighting I tend to like. The second one I think is wishy-washy. But I don't know that it destroys the legitimacy of the Loveland Frogman completely. You know what I mean?
I don't know. The fact that it was 2 weeks after for the second one, and I did hear a version of the story where that cop came out and said straight up that it was an iguana, and then after he shot it, he threw it in his trunk, and they disposed of it.
Yeah, I've heard that one, too.
So...
But this guy, so this guy keeps changing his story.
True, true. I don't know. It's tricky, but... Yep. It's also one of those silly things of like, Ohio doesn't even have big lizards.
Right. And that's the other thing. Like, anyone who knows anything about lizards, if it's icy out and it's cold, that lizard is not going to be moving around.
Right. It's not going to make it.
It's going to be way too lethargic.
Yeah.
And if you shoot it, like, so that's why I think that story is wishy-washy.
Well, in the first one with the wand and the three of them, that one's always been a little hokey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one from, what, 1955?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the, and hey, sometimes you get those weird ones in there.
Right. Well, but that's also the one that kind of started it. And wasn't that one, like, right after they aired that? What were those dancing frogs back in the day?
Oh, I don't remember.
We talked about it when we covered this before. It was the dancing singing frogs that were on TV in the 50s, and the sighting was like shortly after that.
It just happened to be. They were like, yeah. Hello, my honey. Hello, my darling.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, hey. I don't know. I thought this one was that we should go into this one, and this one was kind of interesting because granted, they call it the Frogman, but they say it was kind of like a lizard. And there's also the Lizardman, which was also in Ohio.
True, true.
You know, so you've got these two lizard-like cryptids, both in the same state, both having what I would call credible eyewitness accounts. At least a couple, you know, yeah. Like one in each case. So I thought it would be interesting if we looked at it tonight because Bronx John was not going to be on the show tonight. I fucked up on that one. It's next week. Ugh, excuse me. I've got the fucking, some gas or hiccups or something. He's going to be on the show next week. So I decided to do this instead. But yeah, I like these interesting cryptids that aren't so well known.
Yeah,
you know, like you know your Frogman or your friggin' Lizardman or you know Mothman's kind of well known. Jersey Devil, not as much.
Right.
Trying to think of some other ones that are interesting that. People don't hear about much.
Right.
There's those gnome things. I did a story on those once. But there's a lot of these really interesting, not as well-known cryptids that people have had sightings of. The Dover Demon.
Yeah. That's
you know, one. Not a lot of people know about that one.
The Beast of Bray Road or something like that.
Yeah, the Beast of Bray Road is kind of Dog Man. People kind of know Dog Man.
True.
But the Beast of Bray Road is one that I initially was like, horse shit. the Beast of Bray Road's horse shit. That was what I was initially, my initial thoughts were, and I totally was on the side of Beast of Bray Road's horse shit. And then I checked out a couple of documentaries and a few things on it. And I'm not saying that it's the real deal. You know, I'm not coming out and saying that I think the Beast of Bray Road is the real thing, that there's a real fucking dog man type thing out there. But I will say that the stories and the backstory to that, it's interesting. It's more interesting than I thought.
Yeah.
At first glance. You know, so I think to just dismiss these things, that these offshoots, as, oh, it's just another person trying to fucking cash in on like the Bigfoot craze or the fucking Mothman craze or, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't necessarily think that's always the case. I don't always necessarily think it's a case of misidentification or where somebody's seeing, like a lot of people seem to think that in the cases of Dogman, that it's a Bigfoot misidentification.
Right.
So there's that too. Which that very well possibly could be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say that that's outside the realm of possibility. You know, I am a statistics guy. It's not possible. So.
Well, and every little community has its own little folklore, and a lot of them feel like bullshit, but sometimes you find these little gems where, like, you know, there really might actually be something here.
Yeah.
And they pique your interest.
And I think that sometimes it's worth looking into.
Yeah.
You know, especially if that's your passion. If you're into this type of stuff, you know, fucking go. You know, definitely go.
Well, even my little local one here, it's silly, the turtle one. It's right, really silly. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I kind of buy into it because we, growing up, had a huge turtle sighting out on the lake. We saw a freaking sea turtle. And that's not normal. And six members of my family, we all witnessed it at once together. So it's kind of, when you look back on the story of somebody talking about a turtle the size of a Volkswagen Beetle, like, yeah, you know what? I could buy that.
And I like the little offshoots and the little interesting one. It's fun to get into just to hear the story of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, or to hear like what these, you know, what the legend is behind it, or
right,
or whatever the case may be.
Sometimes they go deep, far back, and it is fun to like just go down the rabbit hole.
Oh yeah, the Goat Man. Another one.
I forgot about the Goat Man
Bridge. The fucking Goat Man. You know, there's tons of them. I mean, if I fucking sat here, I could pull up a fucking list. I'm not gonna do that, but. But anywho, so I update on the art. I got in touch with Fred. He probably isn't going to have the new show art done for a couple of weeks. He said he might try to squeeze it in, but he wasn't sure if he'd be able to. And I told him not to worry about it. You know, I appreciated, you know, him fitting me in regardless, because I know he's busy. So that'll be done in like a couple of weeks, few weeks. I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, waiting on it, whatever. But I did clear with him getting done the artwork that Katie and I have behind us right now, which most of you have seen. It's the Cryptids Playing Poker. And I just commissioned out MJ Hiblin out of the UK. You can look him up. He's MJ Hiblin Art. But I'm pretty sure you can find him anywhere. He's got an Instagram. His artwork's everywhere. I commissioned him to do his take on Fred's original Cryptids Playing Poker. But I told him that there's other versions of Cryptids Playing Poker. If he wanted to try to do something different, that was completely fine. And I did throw him the other day, if he could, to throw Cthulhu in there. So I thought that would be fun. But other than that, I told him to have fun with it. I didn't expect like a carbon copy of what Fred did in his style. But I, you know, I wanted him to have some fun with it, and, you know, give me something that's more his. And I love his artwork. So, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I should have that by the end of the week. So I should have that for next week's show, to unveil for everybody. I will be, as soon as I get it, I will post it on the like page. You know, so it'll go up there first, but I should be able to unveil it on the show on next Monday. So, and we should have Bronx Johnny on the show. You know, I had thought that he was going to be on the show tonight, and I was like, "Hey, you good for the show for Monday?" And he was like, "Yeah, the 9th." And I was like, "Oh, shit!" yeah, that was my bad. I must have read him wrong or whatever when we were going back and forth. But he should be on the show next Monday. And we will have something fun to do with him. And I should have the new artwork, which I'm totally psyched about. I just commissioned him out to do that. So I just got to pay him this week for it. And he hasn't sent me a sketch. He's supposed to send me a sketch of it this week at some point. So I get an idea of what he's doing.
Cool.
And then I should have it for next week. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked about that. I got that. And then the show art that Fred's doing. And that's all the art that I'm going to be spending money on for a while. I fucking shut the tap off of that. It gets expensive, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to support people who are artists who do this shit for work, because I think their work it's worth money.
Yeah.
You know, and these people are trying to make a living doing this shit, and they deserve to be able to do that. You know, and if you're looking for a piece of art for your house, don't fucking go out and buy something at like a fucking store, some piece of shit, dumbass fucking print. Go have something nice done that you want. You know, custom piece of art. Go find a good artist. There's tons of them out there that'll do the work. That are respectable. That aren't going to fuck you over either. You know, and just take your money. It's well worth it. You know, to have something that, you know, it's yours. You know, nobody else is going to have it on their wall. You know, unless you post it somewhere and then somebody downloads it and fucking puts it on their wall, but you know, whatever. So yeah, I'll have that next week, and hopefully Fred's in a couple of weeks. Bronx Johnny next Monday. Other than that, for guests, I don't have anybody else slated. And like I said, I got something fun I'm trying to work out to do with Johnny next week, so we should have some fun with that. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, see ya!